Welcome to the Balls Not Court Podcast. Cortez Paulus here. Kevin Carter over Skype. Good evening, Mr. Carter. How you doing today, sir?
Where the white women at?
No, I'm good.
Hey, yeah. Well, they got COVID because they all went out to the bar. We're doing masses. UCF bar got shut down.
Especially if you're within the age of, 19 to 29. Yep. It's all your fault, the reason we closed down everything. Stupid youngins.
So, yeah. Florida is dealing with a spike. Well, the whole nation is really dealing with that right now.
It's because their drinks were spiked.
But hey, you know, nonetheless, I mean, yes, we're in a state of chaos with everything that's going on. Me and Kevin touched on a lot of things, you know. Even previous podcasts was the state of the nation, the state of the world. But, you know, nonetheless, basketball is officially clear for takeoff. Basketball is back.
We are finally getting to a show where we're not going to be talking about all this weird crap that's going on. We're actually talking about something actually finally starting back up.
Yes, we will be talking basketball. And
even though I may bring something up at the end of the podcast that has something to do about what's going on in the world today, but right now we're just going to talk about basketball.
Yeah. Hey.
Right now we are doing a season 1.5 preview. We just call it the Disney season preview.
Yeah. The Disney bubble preview.
Disney bubble preview show.
So. A lot of these players went through the testing, and they only found that it was only 6 NBA players that were tested positive for COVID, and the ones that are tested positive are going to, you know, self quarantine and still
come back in
right before the season begins. So,
some of them
get back on track.
Yeah, some of them would be fine before you even got a report.
Right. So. You know, the man, they got pretty much right now we at the deadline where the soft deadline where players decide not to play. So there have been players that decide not to play, such as Avery Bradley because of his son and respiratory issues with asthma and everything like that. So I kind of understand why he dropped out. But, Kevin, did you see some of the Laker fan respond to Avery Bradley not playing?
There, idiot. Yeah, that noise that just went on, though. Yeah, that was my – That was my their cuckoo.
Yeah, I forgot to turn my phone on silent.
Yeah. But he's doing it for the reason he's doing it. Gotcha. The other person that was doing it because who else did it because of their son too, and that this was the only time that he could see him.
Trevor Ariza.
This is the only time he could see his son because of his freaking ex. So. That is a perfect example. That is a perfect reason why someone should be doing it. If it's your kids or your family that's something involved, right on. I won't have a problem with it at all whatsoever. I don't have a problem with it if you don't want to play at all anyway, because that's your decision. You're a grown-ass person. But these guys making their decisions for their family reasons and everything like that, good on them.
So, Kevin, you bring up a good point. I was going to ask you about that because – Davis Bertans, you know, who played for the Wizards. I mean, yeah, they're 4 or 5 games behind Orlando for a spot. And David Bertans has been, you know, one of the better, you know, free agent coming up available. He's been a 3-point sniper. He's, you know, but, you know, he said he's not going to play because he don't want to, you know, re-risk injury. And he's got a big free agent come up. And, you know, for the most part, I respect that. I don't know. I see what you think. But there was other players who felt that he bailed on his team, such as
who was it?
Evan Fournier. Who was it? Evan Fournier called him out.
Evan, shut up.
So your thoughts on that? Let me get your thoughts on that, because I'm with you, Ken. I agree. Evan, shut up.
If the commissioner said you don't have to play, and people decide they don't want to play, then their peers shouldn't be saying nothing to them. Point blank, simple, easy. Just stay off everybody's case. If that man, everybody's playing for their own reason. Mm-hmm. He's playing for money reasons going into next year.
Yep.
I can't blame him.
No.
Can't blame him at all. If the man wants to do it, hey, he's probably been stuck overseas somewhere too.
Mm-hmm.
While he was out. So, hey, that man don't want to do it, more power to him. He's looking out. He's looking out for himself, and he's looking out for his family because he wants to get paid. And the Wizards ain't catching nobody anyway. So,
right, and that's why it was like, well, you quit on your team. No, you're not really. It's like you're looking out for your health, and I didn't agree with Evan with that. Evan was like,
nobody's quitting on their team if they decide they don't want to play. No one is quitting on their team if they say they don't want to play. That's just, it's simple. They put it out there that you don't have to play if you don't want to. The man right. Don't want to play.
Right. Fair enough. And
yes, there you go.
So
he don't even have to give a reason.
No. You say you don't want to play, and that's it.
Bingo.
So that's why I just kind of laughed at that. I'm like, oh. Why had to be one of the Magic players, and this usually he's the most vocal one on the team. And
because Evan's got sick of people googling his name.
I get it. Evan's a free agent next year too. He's got a free agent option to exercise his free agent. So listen, I respect you playing. If you say you didn't want to play, I wouldn't get mad at it. Like, hey, you know, he's got to look out for himself and his family. No big deal. It's what it is. So, but yeah, that's why I say with this whole date where people decide where they're going to play or not, and you got to respect their decision. You don't know what's going on in their life, as Kevin mentioned. So we just got to respect the individual, what they're doing for themselves and their family.
Yeah. And I think five, six people not want to play. I think it was a pretty good ratio.
Yeah.
For the teams they got going in and for six people not want to play. I think they're doing their due diligence. And I think they're going about everything the right way on what they're wanting to do and how they're wanting to do it. Some of the things I think are a little sketchy, but are a little wonky per se on the way they're doing some kind of stuff. But I'm like at least they're doing a good job on it. I thought the Boston Pets when they came back would be a lot more. And to find out they did 300 something people that were going to be in the bubble, and 16 of them come back positive.
Mm-hmm.
With only six of them being players, it was a great percentage for them to be able to come back and start it.
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody's going to be in their hotels. No outside people are going to be at any of these hotels. So they ain't got to worry about all these people cramming in on them. Because one, Disney ain't going to have that many people there to begin with. Because it's so limited with all the stuff that Disney's doing. It's going to be so limited and security's going to be there. So these guys are going to be able to be all right. Man, and I think, hey, look, there's a lot worse places you can be. And where these guys are going to be at.
Yeah. The only thing that worries me a little bit about the bubble, and I wish that they probably would have took more look into this with the Disney employees being able to go in and out. I get that they got families and they got things to attend to, but find a certain group of employees that can do that, and you pay them an additional hazard pay. NBA or Disney, y'all got the money.
Where they will. It'll end up coming out that the NBA is going to take care of some people. Like, we know a bunch of single dudes that work for Disney that would be like, hey, I volunteer to go over here and stay at the hotel within their bubble.
Yep.
And make sure everything's okay. We know people that would go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's more coming, and I think Disney is going to have Disney and the NBA are going to get together before they really start reporting, and they'll have all the logistics and everything worked out, because we know we know Disney is number one in logistics on figuring out how to do stuff. So it's a good, they probably put it in their little spiel thing that they did to get the NBA to come to Disney anyway. So I think it'll be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty sure, though, they're going to just
shit out of employees. All that are going to be in that bubble are going to get tested.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that they really do look out for them in that case, because that's the thing I worry about. They come in, they keep going in and out. But, you know, hopefully if they keep going in and out, they don't pretty much see the players.
And
coaching and everything like that.
Well, the players are going to be at the milk house, like, a ton.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be at the Wild World of Sports, which is going to be shut off to everybody. So you're basically going to have that people in that book most of the day. It's when, I think they said after a few weeks or something, they're going to start letting the players go or move around.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you'll see the precautions have to take place. That's when you see, like, certain days that they don't have reservations for some of the parks. That's because the players are going and things like that. So you'll see a lot of patterns going on around Disney just based on the NBA being there.
Okay.
I think it's cool as hell. If I can go down there and just take a glimpse of them walking by, I think, oh shit, look.
Listen, if they wanted to do the whole that, you know, employees stay on the campus, in the bubble campus, and they like, hey, we got some outside volunteers, like, I'll go, just test me. Alright, I'll go, man, you know, go hang out with, you know.
I ain't volunteering. Had to pay me something.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I ain't going for free. You got to pay me. I still got to be able to, you know, forward some money to my rent, my landlord, and hold down my place until I come back. But yeah.
Nah. Yeah, I'll do security stuff for it. No problem.
Oh, man. Easy, man. Easy. So
I'll be talking all of them.
For real. So.
So we already know the hotels are all going to be staying at.
Yes, I was about to get with that. So yeah, we got the hotels, we got the Grandestino, Grand Floridian, and the Yacht Club. I can go with the teams there. We got Grandestino has Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers, Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, and Heat.
If you don't know, Grandestino is the new addition to the Coronado Springs, which is Mexican themed, Spanish themed resort. That's that one. That one is actually the closest one to the ESPN place.
Oh, okay.
That one's actually the closest one to it that they're able to use. The closest one to it is actually part of Animal Nation and Pop Century and Caribbean Beach, but they're not going to take millionaires and put them in cheap hotels.
Hey, there it is. The Grand Floridian has the Thunder, the 76ers, the Rockets, the Pacers, Mavericks, Nets, Grizzly, and the Magic.
Tier 2.
Yeah.
That's Tier 2.
Tier 2? You want to break down?
Yeah, that's a Tier 2.
You want to break down the Grand Floridian?
It's all the playoff team. Oh, Grand Floridian is the one closest to Magic Kingdom.
It is close to Magic Kingdom, and it's the farthest drive.
Okay.
For any of these to get to ESPN.
Gotcha. And then the Yacht Club has the Blazers, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Suns, and the Warriors.
Tier 3. The Warriors?
I'm sorry, the Wizards. Wow.
I was about to say, the Warriors didn't get invited to this shit.
Steph Curry coming up, boy. No, I'm just kidding.
Nope. And that one, we know where that one is.
Yes.
That's at the boardwalk. It's actually a pretty good – that one in Coronado are probably right around the same drive.
Yeah.
To get there. Coronado may be a little closer because it's a straight shot. But the boardwalk, you have to go by the – Caribbean Beach and then go buy all the rest of the shit and get out there to it. So
see, I let our Disney expertise break this down here.
That one's right across from Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
And it's on the same thing as Epcot. So it's right next to two theme parks.
Okay. For sure.
You've been there.
I've been to them. I just wanted you to break it down in detail, you know, for the listeners.
That's the one where your favorite club is at.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Nah, hey, Yacht Club is nice, man. I mean, I haven't been to Destino, but I've been to the Floridian and the Yacht Club.
Yeah, they said the Destino, because Destino is new, like brand new.
Yeah.
They said that Destino is nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice, nice. And I'm like, well, good. LeBron will enjoy it.
Hey, man, what do you think about the NBA allowing the players to go ahead and put whatever different calls for the back of their jerseys? So, did you read that?
It'd be cool.
I think it'd be great. It's better than players staying at home for calls. You know what I mean? It's like I talked to Cam about last week on his podcast that did not get recorded because my voice couldn't be heard. So yeah, it's like I told them last week. I just think it's better for guys to be out there
to be able to voice their opinion on the microphone when they get it in front of them. And if they're allowed to put these causes and stuff, whatever
they want to, on their backs
and on their jerseys, another way that they can show they can go out there
and they can support the cause that's going on. And I just think it's a good thing. The NBA is the most hip-hop black culture sport that we have. It is, if a sport represented the Black Lives Matter movement, basketball is that sport. I think that's safe to say.
Fair enough.
And these guys could go out there and, because you can see their face. It's not like football where you can't see these guys' faces and everything. You have faces of the NBA, and these guys can go out there, show their support for their cause, and get it more out there than if they sat at home and did nothing. It's just this sport is the one that can really make that change and help make a difference in this movement. And that's what I said last week on the show, him and them, but of course nobody got to hear. I blame him for not knowing how to work his equipment.
You ran some technical difficulties, eh?
Yeah, but that's my big man. This represents that movement the best.
So
let the guys go out there and do it. Let them go out there and put whatever the heck they want to on the back of their shirt, mm-hmm. and let them represent.
I like I told Kevin before. I said I'm game for either option. So now that we're getting basketball back, fantastic, great, cool. It's in, you know, we know where we're going. We got a direction. We're getting basketball. We already doing the testing. So, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, do I get both options? Yeah. But, you know, Kevin broke it down from a great perspective. And, yeah, he's totally right. And in a sense to where, you know, if they're trying to make a bigger call for what they want to do, then, you know, by meaning it, they have that freedom or option to do so. But now that we're getting basketball back, no complaints on my end. I'm excited. I'm just looking at these things and stuff like that. So it's just.
Just think about it. Never is more eyes going to be on basketball than there is right now.
Yeah.
This is when basketball is going to be the most watched.
Mm-hmm.
Watch thing. Just remember, we were all joined in for the dance documentary to come out. Now, you're going to have live basketball. This is going to be some of the most watched games and events going on, and ratings are going to skyrocket. So everything is going to benefit by what the NBA is going to be doing.
Yes, sir.
You guys need to go out there, represent their causes, do everything in their power, and do it the right way. And now you've got your platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now the ball is in their court, and they can go at it with what they want to.
Zing. So some of the days coming up here that's been highlighted by Adrian Wojnarowski, July, right now coming up June 30th, is the transaction windows ends, where players that are deciding to stay back. As we heard, J.R. Smith is going to sign on with the Lakers. It's one of the moves that we heard about. There's been a few moves that I just not bling on top of my head right now. But yes, one of those moves where, you know, that transaction window is going to end on June the 30th. And then mandatory individual workouts on July 1st. And then also on that same date, it's a hard deadline for players to decide they're not going to play or not at Disney. So that would be your last official date to let the NBA know that you're not coming into the bubble. July 7th, you got the Nets, Nuggets, Magic, Suns, Jazz, Wizards. They travel to Orlando.
It's my favorite part. All these guys travel to Orlando. One of them is already there.
One of them's already. Exactly. But
they don't have to travel anywhere.
But here's the funny part, is that the Magic still had to take a bus there. None of these players, they can't just drive in there, you know, nice Mercedes Benz.
No driving your own car. You got to take the bus.
You got to take the bus. They really try to make it like, hey, you ain't it.
Hey, here's the funny part. All the ones that are flying into Orlando National Airport,
yeah,
they get to ride the Disney Magical Express from the airport to the place.
I swear, hey, Disney is...
But I think a lot of them are going to be flying into the executive airport.
Yeah. For sure, and that's why I know about, oh, the numbers are rising, but you're still going to be in a bus that's going to be clean. They're going to get you to the facility. So you get there, I think y'all be all right.
The time they get there, they'll be fine.
July 8th, you got the Celtics, Mavericks, Clippers, Grizzlies, Heat, Pelicans, Thunder, and Kings. They travel to Orlando.
Yep, we get to take a bus the whole way. No. They flying.
Yeah, they flying. Exactly. That wouldn't make sense. They take the bus the whole way. Man, you have some miserable players, man.
No 3.5 hour bus ride. Nope. They taking that bus for 20 minutes. I mean that plane for 20 minutes.
I don't blame them. All right. On July 9th, you have the Rockets, the Pacers, Lakers, Bucks, 76ers, Trailblazers, Spurs, Raptors. They travel to Orlando, and the Raptors, I believe, they have to self quarantine, so that's why they put them last. They had the 2 days full quarantine before they come to the States. So, and then July 9th to 21st is the team training camps. And then the inter squad scrimmages is between July 22nd to the 29th. July 30th, Kevin mentioned earlier about at the podcast, is the beginning of the restarted 2019-20 season.
And so then, June 22nd through the 29th is preseason game.
Yes. Is their fancy way of calling it. So,
preseason game.
August 15th through 16th is the play-in tournament, if need be, which I'm sure they will be in the West. And August 17th is the beginning of first round of postseason. And the NBA draft lottery is on the 25th.
There you go.
And then the player guests arrive to Orlando on August 30th. And round two postseason, August 31st. September 15th, begin the conference finals. September 30th, begin NBA finals. Game 7, NBA finals, October 12th, if needed, if necessary. And, NBA draft, start free agency. And December 1st is the opening night for 2020-21.
My God, am I going to love NBA season next year.
I know, you're going to be excited. Like, oh, it's around December.
But watch what's going to happen. This is going to end up coming, and it's going to create a whole new thing for basketball. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. We'll see, man. I know there's been more discussions about, you know, pushing it back, and, you know, I know I'm not on board, and we're not, but they're talking about maybe cutting the games down. So there's been preliminary discussions, I see.
I don't know where I've heard that before.
So I know I've been reading a lot of articles on The Athletic mentioning about, you know, the game starting around this time. But I would say it should start. I agree with it because, you know, you want to compete with football. Football is going to grab just so amount more attention than you would. So I'd rather compete against baseball than I would against football.
That's why you have crappy regular season games at the beginning of the year. You roll it into football. Then the all-star break comes around. Everything picks back up, and that's after football is over. Because February's done, then you get the All-Star game. You get the Super Bowl, then you get the All-Star game, and from then on, all eyes are on the NBA.
Yeah.
And then you get done in June or July, and then you roll right into football. They've always had it perfectly set up. It's just, I think the NBA lasted too long when they start in September and October. I just think we already know what teams are going to be good. We already know what teams can come and be a surprise. We don't need 82 games to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You need 50-something games to figure it out. 60. Cut off 22, do 60, and there you go, and bam, you're good to go. That means you got 30 home games, 30 away games.
Someone's always man up.
And go ahead. Someone needs to sign me to make stuff. Go.
So, hey, man, what you think about your schedule as far as you being a
Heat fan? It freaking sucks. We went from having the easiest end of the season schedule to get a good seed to now we have the hardest one out of all the teams that are there.
Yeah, y'all's stream schedule is brutal.
Like, they're like, let's just give them everybody that's in the playoffs already. Let's not give them the Wizards or any of the other crappy teams. Let's give them the Pacers twice, the Sixers, the Bucks. Let's give them all of them. But here's the thing about this whole thing that's coming up. Teams that are built on defense are going to come out and they're going to be okay, because that's where they thrive, is on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
The bad part is, on the other end of the spectrum, the teams that don't have no set offense and just go and play, they're going to have a huge advantage as well. So it's going to be people playing street ball against people trying to play defense. And those are two things. Teams that run on these set offenses and everything like that, they're going to have a little trouble coming out of the gate. Teams that are just the Rockets, they're going to be able just to come out and do what they've done the whole regular season and just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have no offense. It's like, go out there, everybody shoot. We're going to make a 6'8" and under team, and all y'all go out there and shoot. And that's what it's going to be. So teams like the Heat, like the Magic, teams like that,
we're going to be coming out there, and we're going to be trying to get the continuity back that we had before.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be trying to get the team to expect everything, go back in together. That way they can go out. I can tell you one thing, though. When the Heat come back, they're probably going to be the most in shape team. Because we know them boys, you have people sending basketball goals to people.
Yeah.
Tell them, hey, get your butt out of here and play. You know, Pat calling them off. I'm like, you didn't tell McDonald's, did you?
Yeah, man, they, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how these teams have been, you know, taking things seriously and trying to get back in shape. And it's pretty much, man, it's, you know, how quick can you get your legs under you, you know?
Yep.
I mean, a lot of us, you know, that listen to this show or play the show, we play even recreational basketball, and you understand what type of shape you got to be in to play just even that kind of basketball. So even playing, like, structured, organized basketball where, you know, the basketball shape is a real thing. So you can get in much shape all as you want. And, you know, I hear certain players on my Magic squad that gain, you know, muscle and stuff like that. But all that really is not going to matter if you're not into basketball shape and how quick you can get in basketball shape.
It's going to be a gas fest, especially from what I just said about how the play is going to be. It's going to be like kick-up basketball.
Yeah.
That's what it's
going to
be like. It's
going to
be like
pick up
basketball, people just trying to get buckets.
Right. As a coach, how do you try to manage some of these guys' minutes? Because, you know, some of these guys are at least playing 35 minutes a game. And, I mean, coming back into it after being 3 months off, and, you know, it's a challenge.
You've got the camp and the preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to judge how these guys are coming back. Try to maybe get them in a little bit of shape and see what kind of shape everybody's in, and if it's correct that these guys will be able to go these minutes. Because the bad part is, I think some people are going to come back and they're just not going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
Some people are going to come back and bam, something bad is going to happen. or hurt something, then they were going to have to hear about the people coming back and say, see, we started this too soon. Now these guys are hurting everything. So these coaches have to be very cautious.
They're you're right. They're going to have to coach more than they have before. And
yeah, your eyeballs are going to have to be very, very easy to come right
through. Definitely, man. So, you're right. Coach is going to have to stretch their rotations a little bit. I know most coaches like to go, you know, nine-man, 10-man rotation. You just got to, you know, monitor your minutes here. And like you said, during the summer, whenever they have something, they're usually playing ball. They usually are able to play because basketball is a year-round sport, so they're able to do it. But now I'm not doing this for 3 months. It's risky, but, you know, you hope for the best, man. That's all you can really do is just hope for the best. Nobody don't have a major injury.
This is going to be the thing, too, where they got the depth that some of these teams had before. It's going to have to come through. Hell, you may be using everybody in the games because that's just how it's going to be. People are going to get gas. It's not going to be there. No one's going to be playing 30-something minutes a game. And if they are, I don't want to hear them complaining about it afterwards that they're playing too much.
Exactly. Nope, exactly.
That's what I'm going to coach. I don't want to hear nothing about y'all complaining too much because they're going to have to monitor. Now, come playoff time, I expect it to be completely different because that's what I expect all these teams to have your legs on. But as far as the preseason and regular season game goes, we may be in for smooth basketball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to bear the product because it's going to be sloppy. And
plus, you guys are going to have to get used to this gym. None of them have this gym before.
Yep.
And people say that's not a myth. Like, you go to different gyms and stuff, every gym shoots different.
Mm-hmm.
There's different high angles and there's different everything in these gyms. So these guys are going to have to adjust to a lot of different things. But the good thing is they're going to be at one place, so they're going to be used to it.
Definitely, man. So I'm excited, man. I'm gonna see the TV schedule, so I mean, I don't know.
I see the TV schedule. I know when they play this eight-game season.
Yeah.
They want to dial as much as possible.
Hey, all I know is I see, you know, particularly on my side, we get I don't know how many revenge game, but Markelle Fultz revenge game against Phillies on TNT.
Zion's been three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're on three times. I think the Heat are on a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But I said what they should have done was had NBA TV, TNT, and ESPN work out a thing and showed all the games.
Yep.
Just showed all the games. Like they do, like make up a package like they did during the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game you get. These are the games we get. These are the games we get. Let's go. And then all the games would have been on TV.
Yep.
People are still stuck in the house, guess what? You can watch basketball all day long.
All right,
that's
man.
That's what I would do.
Nah, hey. It's a suggestion. Nothing wrong with that. So, we did get news about Vince Carter making his retirement official. And this is a guy who's been a great ambassador to the game. And it's the time is finally here. Due to unfortunate circumstances, he couldn't finish the season. And Kevin, I want you to kind of talk about Vince Carter because I know this guy in particular. You played him. You watched him a lot growing up. We both did, but you particularly, you know, it's one of the games where you see guys your age like retire. I haven't got there yet, but LeBron's my age, so I'm probably gonna be getting there soon. Where I'm like, man, that's crazy, man. So I want to get your thoughts about, you know, Vince Carter and his playing career and everything he meant to the game.
Well, see, I played against him in high school. And actually, he's from Daytona.
Yes.
They came up to First Coast to play us in a game. And everybody in Florida knew who Vince Carter was. And so he comes out of there, and there's this shiny toy that all of these colleges are after. And you got guys on your team going, okay, this is where I make my name. I'm going to do something on Vince Carter. And you got guys like me going, no one named me and that guy. I got to come. It's our last name. Now, I ain't making my name off nobody. And then when the coach looks at you and goes, you got to go guarding, I told him, you're out of your mind. I said, no. No. So, watching Vince in high school, he was just, the things he did were, you think all these kids are athletic and stuff now. He was those guys back then. Back then, you didn't have these guys that had incredible jumping ability and speed and all this stuff. Well, Vince was, to us, what these guys are now. And he was incredible. I didn't make a 3-pointer. That was my claim to fame. I made a few in that game, but I made one of them. That was my claim to fame. Even when I went and got the autograph signing, because he did autograph signing at Daytona before a baseball game.
Yeah.
I went to the autograph signing, got my stuff signed. And I said, look, dude, my basketball claim to fame was I made a 3-pointer over you in high school. He goes, what school did you go to? I said, it's when y'all came up to Jacksonville playing First Coast. He goes, oh, damn, I remember you. He goes, who did I change any? I said, neither of you. But just watching him park, he's one of those guys I follow just because we were close in age. And you play against the guy, and he's from your state. So you just want to follow him. So he went to North Carolina, played phenomenal up there in North Carolina, and then to have this NBA career that he's had, he's just a phenomenal basketball player. And I think he's underrated in a lot of the sense. And this dude brought in a completely different era of basketball for the NBA, and he don't get enough credit. From the way I see it, he just don't get enough credit for the stuff that he did and for the era of basketball that he brought in with him, T-Mac, and all these guys. And to see him go, you all know we get old. There's one thing that will never not stop anybody, and that's Father Time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't outrun it. And it was his time to go. And I'd rather him go now than him be completely torn down. Old man still trying to play basketball.
Yeah.
He's such a good dang player, though. And I just think people don't realize how good he is, because now it's kind of harder to look back on him with all this new stuff that's going on, mm-hmm. with all the new players and everything that's coming on. It's kind of hard to look back on him and realize how good he is.
Oh, man, yeah.
I think he's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Just with how he played the game
and everything, not just his dunking and stuff like that, but he was all around good player. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Certain people
in the Hall of Fame, this dude should go into.
Yeah. Nah, man, that's why I said I knew, you know, him retiring, like it meant a lot for you to watch this guy, know this guy, and that's great. You say like how great of a player he was. It's just a better person that he is too. He never really was the cocky type, man. Never was really the cocky type, laid back type, and just kill you on the court. You know, he really never really, you know, you really never heard anything where Vince getting into like any trouble off the court.
I feel mad that he didn't go to Florida.
Yeah,
we got recruited big time to go to Florida.
Yeah,
and when we went to North Carolina, that's when Von Kruger quit at Florida, and he was like, "You can never bring a big recruit in to play basketball at Florida." And thanks for that, because then you brought us Billy Donovan, and he brought in, I don't know, big recruits to play at Florida.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, watching Vince. So,
now guess who the oldest player in the league is now.
Who is it?
Udonis Haslam.
Oh, yeah.
40 years old.
40 yep. years old, man. I'm appreciative of Vince, man. He came and played at a short time for Orlando, and it was cool to see the hometown kid. I had that feeling watching McGrady as a hometown kid there, so to get that feeling again to watch him play for the Magic It didn't end like he wanted to. I know that 2010 team was a really good team, and he ended up having his Nick Anderson moment and missed the free throws. But at the end of the day, he was still a great person. You know, just the way he just handled himself in interviews and how he was a mentor to some of them guys like Dwight and Jameer. Jameer left a very, very good post about him when he found out that he retired. So, but yeah, you just see how many lives that Vince touched and how people are close to him. And you hear how Trae Young, like someone who is in his 20s, just talk just gleamingly about Vince and compared to, you know, some of these old heads that, like, man, Vince is just one hell of a guy and one heck of a player as well. And I'm with you. I don't think he's eventually first ballot Hall of Famer, but I do think he's a Hall of Famer just based on his accolades and what he did. And I do believe that he should be going to Springfield. But I have so much respect for Vince because he was definitely overshadowed by, you know, AI and T-Mac and Kobe. And, you know, he was up there wearing the guards, but it's just funny how Vince get missing all the conversation when he was definitely up there in the running for a lot of that stuff. Some of my favorite teams to watch him when he was with the Nets after he left there and tried to make a run, but they just couldn't beat that Philly team with AI. But you know, he was a fun player to watch, man. And
he was more than just dunks, too.
Yes. Oh yeah.
You know, that's what we remember most about him. He was more than just dunks.
And I figured that out when I watched him when he played for the Magic. Like, oh yeah, we got a dunker, blah blah. And, no, he's more than that. Dude can score. Dude can do a triple threat. He can drive it to the lane and had a quick first step. And it's a shame, like Kevin said, he don't get the respect that he should deserve. Nope. He gets the respect, but he just. It's just he's underappreciated, man.
He is. That's the word. Is underappreciated. He's just underappreciated just because when he came out.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't even the most decorated guy in his class.
Mm-hmm.
That they wanted. People were all focused on Antoine Jameson.
Yep.
When he came out, because it was Antoine and Vince.
Mm-hmm.
And when Golden State got Antoine. And then Toronto got Vince. And everybody still was focused on Antoine, but it was Vince that was the dude, man.
Vince changed the way Toronto basketball was, man. Like all them Vince, Canada kids Vince, now, man. Like they think Vince Carter.
Vince changed the way basketball was done because he was the most athletic guy that came in during that time.
Mm-hmm.
By none. He was the most athletic dude that was in the NBA when he came in. Sorry. No offense to anybody else that was there. But this dude, nobody jumped like he did.
No.
Nobody did. Nobody done stuff that he did. And he was always what I point at was when a new wave of the NBA started, when it became the athleticism.
Yeah.
He was that guy that I always pointed at. I was like, right there is where your athletes changed. With Vince Carter.
Yep. I want to say thank you, Vince Carter, and it's a shame that you can't close the season.
I would have liked for him to got, like, cut or something and been able to join a team.
Yeah, me too.
Come play and like, join Orlando or Miami or somebody.
Just
to being able to end out in Disney, especially with it being in Orlando, too. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool.
Do you think a team should sign to a one-day contract and retire his jersey?
Toronto, yeah.
I think Toronto should.
Toronto should, especially after the one thing where he came back to Toronto and they forgave him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Toronto should. Yeah. I think they should be like, look, we'll give you one day. We're retired to number 15, and put it up. I think they should.
Looking at your Raptors.
Really, when you think of Raptors, you think him. He's your first person that comes to mind. When somebody goes, oh, Toronto Raptors, you're like, oh, Vince Carter.
Yep.
He's the first guy that comes to mind.
Yep.
When you think Toronto.
Exactly. Nah, I'm hoping Toronto do something nice like that. So I figured that's how we end the podcast, man. Give a shout out to Vince. I know he's, you know, one of them old heads, man, that we watched for a long time, man. Y'all know you the same age as him. You know me.
He's my dude. Thanks, Corey.
And then me being my teen years growing up watching him was, you know, pretty cool.
My man. God.
I'm sorry, man.
We're all the same age.
Yeah, we all the same age. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be there when LeBron tires. Like, me and LeBron the same age, and now I'm realizing, like, damn, I'm getting old, man.
I'll be 80 by the time that sounds
big. Hey, the way he got his genetics going, man, he probably can.
But hair, no. But
yeah, but no. Nah,
hair's crappy, but other than that.
Awesome, man. You got anything else to add?
Oh, the one thing. The one thing I wanted to bring up was people need to stop being so damn hard on NASCAR for doing what happened last week at the race.
Mm-hmm.
They did exactly what they should have done for the safety of their driver. It wasn't the driver who reported it. It wasn't none of that. But that damn sure thing was tied in a noose. And if anybody wants to say anything otherwise, that's bullshit. It was tied in a noose. I know what a knot looks like. I know what a garage down puller looks like, and it's just a rope.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ties nothing like that to pull down a garage. NASCAR did exactly what they wanted to do. They are taking way too much flack for doing the right thing. You need to lay off Bubba Wallace. He didn't even know about it until he was told later on because he's not the one that reported it.
Right.
One of his crew members reported it. One of his crew members saw it, reported it to the crew chief, who reported it to NASCAR. Bubba didn't even know until he got there later on. And the FBI coming out and saying, well, they're all tied. No, they're not all tied like that. When you see the picture, you see what it is. You know what the intention was. I don't know who did it or how it got there, but it was just a damn shame that now NASCAR is taking all this heat from idiots.
And they because
they made all this shit up just so they could get more eyes on NASCAR. If somebody made this shit up just so you could get eyes on a sport, they should be shamed, and that sport should be thrown out completely forever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what happened here. People need to learn that during this day and age, people are going to go just that little much over when something like this happens.
Yeah.
I can complete another credit to the way NASCAR handled this, man. They did a phenomenal job, and Bubba Wallace has been phenomenal during all of this stuff that has been going on. For a sport that is ran and fandomized by some, I'm not going to say racist people,
mm-hmm.
but some of the most southern, diehard southern people that you can ever know, they have done a phenomenal job in doing what they need to do for this sport and doing it for Bubba Wallace and for the cause.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah, respect to them. I know, like I said, NASCAR are taking a lot of unfortunate heat, but I do applaud them for, you know, taking the steps and trying to do investigations, see what's going on, see what happened. And Bubba Wallace being a, you know, he's voicing his opinion. He's voicing his thoughts and everything like that. And I can do nothing but, you know, respect these guys for how they're doing it.
And the best thing about Bubba in NASCAR, as he's being the guy that everybody can come and talk to and ask him the questions, hey, what can we do? What more can we do? How can we help? And just him being in NASCAR at this time has been a godsend for NASCAR.
Yes.
Because he has been able and he's been humble to put what is going on and to put him on himself and to take the Black Lives Matter movement and move it in with NASCAR,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to help him, his drivers and everything, to be able to help them understand what everybody was going through. And he was put there at the most perfect time. And it's just like God was like, hey, dude, I'm going to put you in this position in the most whitest sport there is. And I'm going to let you be the flag bearer for it. And I'm going to let you be able to teach the people around you about what is going on in your community. That way they can understand it and they can get a better grasp of it.
Yes, sir. And I'm proud to see it, man. And this is what me and Kevin mentioned in the last few podcasts, that this discussion's got to be ongoing. What can we do?
And don't forget, just because COVID things spike and all that crap. Nah, don't put this on the back burner just because other stuff is going on. This needs to be front and center of everything still.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be put on the back burner.
Yes, sir. Agree 100%. So
this can only go on the back burner when stuff has changed. Mm-hmm. And then when stuff changed, it still needs to be reminded, hey, let's not go back to that.
Yes, let's have
the change that we have made, but let's not go backwards. Let's only move forward. And with generations, as the further we go along in generations, the better and better stuff will get.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, let's close that bad boy out. Thanks for that segment, Kevin. I'm glad that you had that on. Look, give a little NASCAR shout out.
That's what I'm for. I'm the old Southern guy, so
definitely.
I just took great offense to it from a bunch of stuff that I read, and I was like, man, y'all need to get your ignorant redneck asses or heads out of your asses. Mm-hmm. And damn it, we just be together. It takes way more energy to be mean than it does to be nice.
Exactly.
It takes way more. It don't take you nothing to smile at somebody, but it takes you a lot to yell at them.
Hey,
just saying.
You're right, man. You're right. All right, guys. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Sure, we get more NBA information coming in. You know, sports is slowly starting to kick back up, so.
Even baseball's coming back.
Yeah, so we'll definitely try to find some stuff. So it's crazy, man, because usually this summer – months is our slowest months, and
now it's gonna be our business.
Yeah, it's gonna be probably one of our business once everything kicking the full throttle here. So, but you can follow the podcast page at Balls Not Court. You can follow me at In the Mind of CP,
Kevin C 2415.
You can go to our Facebook, type in Balls Not Court podcast there. I actually had like a $5 credit, and I highlighted the video me and Kevin talked about the George Floyd incident, and that got us about 7.7 views. So,
yeah, 7,000 people.
Yeah.
Have viewed that, and I think we ended up getting like 100 and something likes on the page from it.
Yep. So,
it's people I didn't even know was liking the page, and I'm like, who are these people?
Exactly. It's just like, you know, I have perfect time to use this $5 credit, and usually I do stuff like that. I'm probably going to do that, you know, kind of, you know, promote us a little bit more. So, just keep on tuning for that. You can go to inthemindcp.podomatic.com to get the Balls on Court podcast there at Podomatic.
Balls on Pork. He's hungry, people. He's hungry.
I just had Chipotle like 4 hours ago.
Funny part was I just had pork chops. So.
Oh, that sounded good right now.
Why the Balls on Pork podcast.
All right, we're on iTunes, TuneIn Radio. I'm about to sneeze. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.
Don't do that. I don't want COVID.
Windows, Google Play, Anchor, Spotify, many other sites as well. What does Kevin like to say?
You listened to us there before, listening to us there again. That's going to be a new Drake song. I got you through the cell phone. Later, you sneezed a lot, got COVID through the cell.
Make sure y'all check out our partners. Temperature bleak. I can't with this guy, man. Make sure you check out the Hardwood Nation. Kevin was on the show, and CL has some technical difficulties and lost the show. That's Kevin mentioned before. But stay tuned. We'll be partnering with them here and there, and eventually I'll start running some pieces and stuff like that for them. So
if you would have listened last week, we're supposed to do a 2v2 battle.
2v2 battle.
You and the other guy.
Hey man.
Magic fans.
Versus Heat fan? Oh, yeah, that was supposed to have one.
CL. And what we were going to do, we was going to have a battle.
Dude.
To see who has more basketball knowledge.
That would have been fun. That would have been fun.
So, safe to say, Heat people are probably going to win. I'm just kidding.
Hey, we'll have to mark that out one day. Hey, well, things going the way they are, I'm sure we'll be back in quarantine, and I can actually set that alarm and wake up in the morning. So.
Don't you wish that upon me, Ricky Bobby? I'll go back into quarantine. I'll run around and try to find somebody to sneeze on me before I go back into quarantine. Tell me so I can get immune to this shit. I think I've already had it anyway.
And you know what? I told y'all I think I had it in December.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah.
We should look at this not sleep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening to the Ball in My Court podcast. Kevin Carter, Cortez Paul. Y'all have a good night, okay?
Y'all too. Stay safe. Don't get sneezed out.